Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. We're holding in the middle of a very fascinating sugya about the difference in the nature of tashlumin to a husband in three separate cases when a husband is yorish. So we had kofer, that is due for the death of his wife, who is shor. We have nezikin, that is due him after the death of his wife, who happened to die after being attacked by a shor. And we have dmei vladot, which is due him after, again, she happened to die of cancer after being attacked with the shor a year before there was a dmei vladot. Now, in those three cases, we came out with three very different situations. In the case of kofar, the baal will never be yorish. Why? Because the kofar, by definition, can only be due after the death of the woman. And anything which at the moment of death was only ro'ui to be collected, and not muhsik in the hand of the baal, of the Isha, the Baal is not Yoresh. In exactly the same way that a Bechor is only Noto Pishnayim in Mozak, not in Ra'ui. The opposite extreme is true when it comes to the Dmei Vladot, and that's because of Gzerat HaKatuv. There the husband is not being Yoresh, his wife. And in fact, even if he had divorced her before she died, in which case there's obviously no Yerusha after divorce, he would still be the beneficiary of the Dmei Vladot. And that's because the Torah was mizaka the Dmei Vladot to the person who impregnated these Vladot. It has nothing to do with the state of marriage. And even if she was impregnated without marriage, exactly the same thing. So it makes no difference whether he is the technical Baal as long as he's the Boel. The interim issue would be Nezikin. Nezikin, if the woman collected, so then if there was a divorce, obviously he's not going to be Yorish. I don't care what she collected. But if she remained married to him, so then that would be Mugzak, not Ra'ui, and he would be able to be Yorish. Those were the three different, again, the Gemara ended up saying it in quite a simple fashion. But we ended up figuring out a way to make Rabbi Akiva work out, so that even though we know Rabbi Akiva holds that a Baal is Yorish, and he darshans that from Yorash Ota, the She'eroh HaKarovala, but because of the differences in the dinim of Roy and Mozak, we worked out a way in which even Nezikin would be consistent with Rabbi Akiva's Sfara, but that would only be divorce, and he wouldn't be able to inherit her, despite the fact that he would be inheriting, so to speak, although the word inherit, of course, isn't quite accurate, to Bei Vladot. That's what we ended up yesterday. To say that the case is talking about divorce is certainly a bit odd. I mean, if you divorce, I mean, so we really shouldn't be talking about Yerusha. Of course, we excuse it by the need to bring out a tremendous finish of Rukpapa that a Baal is going to get to make blood out irregardless of his state of Baal. So I understand we want to talk about divorce. But today the Gemara asks now, on line 6, Rava, yesterday it was Rava and Reb Nachman who came up with the scenario of divorce. And that was the only way that we could figure out why it would be that according to Rabbi Akiva, who believes that that in cases of the death of a wife, the husband ought to be Yorish Nezikin, the only case we could come up with where he would not is where he was divorced. But instead of such a drastic solution, couldn't both Rabba and Rav Nachman come up with a simpler solution? Could we not have said a case where in terms of Yerusha it would be Ra'ui, even though it was Nezikin, surprisingly, but where in terms of Vladot, it's irrelevant that it's Ra'ui because it's not a din in Yerusha. That would have brought out the difference just as well without needing to make Yerusha something that was irrelevant when it comes to the case because they were divorced. And that would be as follows. What Rabba could have said, now, Rav Nachman and Rabba disagree about the details, but still, the approach is nonetheless equivalent to both of them. It's interesting that Rabba and Rav Nachman argue in a case where a loan had been made. And over there, depending on what it was that the Yorshin had collected, that would establish whether a Bechor had Pishnayim in the collection of a loan that was due for the father. So therefore, according to Rabba, Rabba says that Karka is considered to be Muzak, Ma'ot is considered to be Ra'ui, because after all, Ma'ot does not really have a status of collectability. Rav Nachman says the opposite. So there, we'll talk about the machlokes in a moment, but first let's just say what the case would be. According to Rava, instead of saying it's talking about a divorce, why can we not say, Kegon Shegavu Ma'ot. It's talking about over here that the Gviyah of the Nezikin in this case, the loan in the case that Rabba was talking about, was money, not karka. And that's and money is always considered to be ra'ui, and not mugzak. And according to Renachman, it could be talking about kegon shegavu karka, because surprisingly, Renachman holds that since, this is the way Tosus understand it, since the derech is to be gove karka, and that's what's assumed, in the event that somebody pays cash, that is not looked at as something that is mugzak. That's looked at as unexpected, and therefore it's ra'ui. So, where's this machlokas? The Amar Rabba, Govu Karka Yeshlo, Govu Ma'ot Eno, Rav Nachman Amar Govu Ma'ot Yeshlo, Govu Karka Eno. So Rabba says if Yorshin are Govan now real estate, then the Bechor takes double in that piece of the Gviyan. So a guy owed, let's say, $100,000 for a loan that had been made by the father of these areas. They collect it in real estate. No, says Rabba, real estate is just as good as collected. So we don't look at that as ra'ui, we look at that as mugzak. The Bechor, therefore, will get his double piece of the action, even in that loan that was repaid after the death of the father. Whereas Renachman says, on the contrary, if you pay cash, since, now here's how Rashi learned, since cash is going to be the equivalent of what was given, that was the father lent cash. So if you pay back cash, we look at that cash as replacement cash, and therefore, it's as if it was cash the whole time. And therefore, we call it to be mugzak, not ra'ui. Now, Tosis points out that, of course, all of that would be irrelevant to the case of Nezikin, because nobody gave anything. Nobody's saying that's the reason why cash would be mugzak. There was a loan. So that type of svara is irrelevant to our case. Tosis says, according to Rav Nachman, where govu ma'od, the idea over here is because since the norm is to pay ma'od, Rav Nachman considers ma'od to be mugzak. Not because ma'ot is a replacement for the original cash. After all, we never view it as a replacement. Cash that comes in for cash that goes out. Okay, so now by application to our case, instead of talking about a divorce, all you need to do is say, the money was collected. But in what form? It was collected as real estate, then that's the halacha. If it's collected as cash, then that's the halacha. Each one according to their sheet, obviously. Rabba l'shita Torah, Nachman l'shita Torah. But to go to such an extreme and say, the only case I can figure out is if they were divorced. I mean, divorce is a bit absurd when you're talking about inheritance. You're not going to inherit after the marriage is dissolved. Says the Gemara, they could have said that. But please recall the circumstances. The circumstances were that we were talking over there, Hani Mili, Livnei Ma'arava. The din is that there was a psak halacha in Bava Batra that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bava, according to which they said that a Bechor will collect Pishnayim in a loan, but not in interest payments on the loan. Right? So in other words, if something is worth more, and this is called Sheva, now we were talking about legal reaping, right? So if things are nishtabeach, so shevach shishbirchu hanechasim after the death of the father, is that considered to be part of the Yerusha? Obviously, yes. Let's just say the field at the time that the father dies is worth $100,000. By the time they get to court and they split it, it's grown, price of property has gone up, it's now worth $110,000. So the Bechor gets a piece of the action of the double of the field, but not of anything that grew up after the father died. So over there, if there was additional interest payments, that's the equivalent of the Shevach Karkot. It's now growing up, and it's worth more. So they sent that you should know that the Bechor is not Nota. Now we said that that's only true according to the Rabbanon. There's a Machlokas Rebbe in the Rabbanon about what type of Shevach. Is it that he's not notel b'shevach that people invested in the karka? Or is that he's not notel in shevach even in additional value that accrued all on its own? Shishbichu nechasim. Okay. Now that's a machlokas. So there we're talking about shevach memela comes on Rabbah and Rav Nachman and they say, look, if that's the case, with, according to the Rabbanon, that a bechor is notel pishnayim in a milva, what part of the milva? It depends. If it was karka or if it was mo'ot, and each one says his pshat. But according to Rebbe, and Rebbe holds that you will collect even if there's accrual in value after the death of the father, we never discuss this difference of ma'ot and karka. Because according to Rebbe, even shamach you're going to collect. Therefore, why would Rava and Rav Nachman want Rebbe Akiva to work out only al libo d'rabbanan and start talking about a case where it depends whether for the nezikin you collected karka or for the nezikin you collected ma'ot? I mean, I want to say a case is going to work out al libo d'kulei alma. Therefore, I talk about divorce. Obviously, the case of divorce is not going to collect. The chiddush, however, is that even in a case of divorce, he will collect the name Latod. And that's why they said that case. So therefore, in our case, Kikamre Hocha Karebi. So that was going Alib the Rabbana that there is no collection of a Bechor of Roy in the Shita of the Rabbana. But in the Shita of Rebbe, where you can collect, then we don't have a machloket about whether the collection was in terms of Karkar or Ma'ot. And so once again, we're left with three different types of Yerusha. You have the Yerusha of Kofar, which the Baal gets nothing. The Yerusha goes to her children. Why? Because Ein HaBaal Notav Roi Kibamuchzak, which is the definition of Kofar. You have Yerusha of the Mei Vladot, where the impregnator always gets it, regardless of whether he's married. And then you have Yerusha of the Zigan, which, according to Rebbe, according to Rabbanan indeed, would depend whether it's Ma'ot or whether it's Karka, but which we're not talking about over here. And which Ali Bada Rebbe would depend on whether you're married or whether you're divorced. So if it was collected while the woman was alive, then if the husband is still married at the time of the death of the woman, he is Yorish. If not, he's not Yorish. It gets more complicated. Ali Bada Sheet of the Rabbanan, where even if the collection is ex post facto, Yerusha of Karka may be considered to be Muchzek, Ali Bada Rebbe, or Yerusha of Ma'ot, Ali Bada Rebbe Nachman, may be considered Muchzek. Ali Bada Rabbanan, not Ali Bada Rabbanan, okay? So we have basically variations in Yerushas, and everything works out fine. Getting back now to our main sugya. What is the din we've been talking about of a shor that kills a ben-chor and it's mishalim kofar? A shor that kills an eved is mishalim shloshim shel eved. Until now, we've taken for granted, if you recall, in Rebbe Eliezer, that if a shor kills shelo b'kavanah, well, let's say the case we had over there was Rebbe Eliezer's sister, Rebbe Akiva. Akiva, you think I'm an idiot? Then I need a posik. How do we get on to this discussion? Bala Shor Naki. According to Rebbe Eliezer, Bala Shor Naki comes to tell me that a tam is not mishalim, it's chatzi kofar. And Rebbe Akiva sort of laughed at that. Well, obviously, where's he going to pay it from? We're going to kill the tam. So how could you think that he's got nothing to pay from? Because the tam only pays vigufa. It says Rebbe Eliezer, how about a case where the tam is not going to be killed? Such as the tam intended to kill another shor, and ended up smashing into an autumn and killing him. So maybe over there you should collect. Because there is, in fact, no destruction of the body of the Tom in that case. It's worth plenty of money. Kamashman balashon naki. But nonetheless, you don't have to pay chatzi kofar. Now that took for granted that even though the Torah says, Ashor yisakel v'gamba lav yumat, im kofar yushat alav, that actually kofar would take place even if the shor is not yisakel. But that is not so simple, is it? A simple reading of the pasuk would have indicated that the only time that the shor will pay kofar is in a case where hashor yisakel. In a case where the baal would be chayav. Right? Baal av yumat. But im kofar yushat alav. But if the baal himself would be potter, and the shor himself is potter, then there is no din of kofar. And in fact, today, it turns out that there is indeed a shita, not like Rebbe Eliezer, you know, that the din would be if there was no kavana, and therefore no tashlumim, no dinim of skila, there would be no dinim of kofar either. So that these two things are intimately linked. Omer ish lakish. Shor sheheimit et ha'evet. Shelo b'kavana. Potor b'shloshim shkalim. Shenemar kesef shloshim shkalim yitein ladanav v'ashor yisakel. Here when it comes to shloshim shalevet, it's only if kozman shashor b'skila, if we're going to be killing the shor, talk about a mu'ud, of course, if we're going to be killing the shor, then the din is that the balam is b'shalmim shloshim shkalim. But if the shor is not chayav skila, then there's no din of tashlumin of shloshim shkalim. Ein balim b'shalmim shloshim shkalim. Rava says, I would go a step further on this. I would say, shor shehimit ben churin shlo b'kavanah is also potter mikofer. I would say, forget about shloshim shkalim, talk about kofar. After all, does not the Torah say Hashor Yisakel v'gam ba'alav yumat, and then im kofer yushatalav? That clearly indicates Koz man shashor b'skila ba'alim mishalim kofer, but ein hashor b'skila ein ba'alim mishalim kofer. So therefore, we would have to exclude these tashlumim in a case where there would not be any skila tashor, which of course is not like Rav Eliezer said earlier.
If he kills somebody,
that's by Adam, we said. No, an Adam who kills is considered to be a Mu'ed Adam. But we said before that if he's mechavin to gore a shore, and instead of that, he gores an Adam, so then he would be parted from Skila. That we said clearly before, right? Right? We just said before, Nitkavin laharogeta tabeima, veharageta adam. As a matter of fact, that was, we learned, kemitat abalim, kemitat ashor. That's a claw we're going to get to. Actually, the Mishnah. But before we mention it in Rebbe Eliezer. Okay. It wasn't bekavana. It's compared to the death of the baalim. If a baalim kills, somebody should have bekavana sometimes. Okay. Eitve Abaye. So Abaye asks on this shita of Rabba, and he says, look, it says if a guy comes along and he admits that he meets Shoriat Ploni, or Shorosha Ploni, Areza Mishalem al Piatzma. Now what's the din if a man admits that his shor killed? Is he going to pay, is he going to be Machayev the shor to be Niskal? Certainly not. Again, remember we have a machlokas. Rashi tells us why not. According to Rashi, because stam, we say that an adam who is made is not chayev, so to the shor. But according to Tosus, you can't be made on your mother. Adam korov etzel mamono. Okay, so when it says you're nonetheless mishalim al piatzmo, what does that mean? My lav kofer. So that means that even though the shor will not be niskal, says you're beferish, the shor will be paying, the balam will be paying kofer. And you said the only time that you pay kofer is where the shor is niskal. Says Rabba, who says it's talking about kofer? It's not talking about kofer. It's talking about damim. Now this is very strange, because kofer is damim. What's the difference between kofer and damim? If you hold kofer as the value of the mazik, that's a difference. Right? Kofer is my value, the one who owns the shor. Damim is the victim's value. But if you hold that kofer is the victim's value, damim is it. What's the difference whether it's the kofer or whether it's the damim? I don't care. Whatever you want to call it, call it. Hey, that's all I care about. Same amount of money anyway. There's a number of fascinating differences. The Rashi says that one difference would be, if a guy doesn't have any money to pay, he doesn't pay. But if a guy doesn't have any money to pay kofar, he's going to be knocking on doors because he wants the kofar for the gamba love you mat. Another daf kamidus is tosfos. You can't be meichel the kofar. You can't be meichel the dummy. Because dummy is just dummy. But if the Torah was mechayev kofar, then Nizek can't say, it's okay, don't bother paying somebody. You're crazy. What do you mean, don't bother paying you? This is not you. This is the Torah that's mechayev me.
But what does this kofar want to go to?
To the Nizek. But the Nizek can't be meichel. Right? Because it's not the dummy. Another nafkamina is if the mazik dies. So if it's a debt and he's paying dummy, so then if it was made as a dummy, it was paskin how much it is, then the yarshim rechayim will pay it from his property. But if it's a din in kofer, the same way if you're chayiv a kapara before death, you don't bring the kapara, you bring the korban chatas after he dies, you wouldn't bring the kapara of kofer. So there are many nafkaminas. There's also an interesting, very interesting private who suggests, everybody jumps down his throat, who suggests that our president thought yesterday that kofar may be related to erechin, is correct. And that if it's kofar, you pay the dummy, you pay the value of the nizik, but in terms of erechin. Right? Which everybody says, what do you mean? The Gemara just said, shove shleishim, shove shleishim. It's no shove at all if you're talking about the bay erechin. A remarkable rivet. But anyway, God bless him. So we have a number of very, very important, fascinating differences. But the bottom line is, says Rava, I stick to my guns. Richie, I stick to my guns.
I stick to your guns.
Stick to my guns, and I say,
that's
a little bit more difficult. I say that if the shor is niskal, then there's tashlum mikofer. If the shor is not niskal, there's no tashlum mikofer. Why does it say over here there is tashlum, and that's referring to dummy, not to kofer? Okay, that's my answer to you. Says Abaye to him, that's not a very good answer. Because if you're talking about dummim, how do you explain the continuation of this very same braita? He mit shori et avdo shaploni. If the same owner is meida that his shor murdered so-and-so's eved, so since it's a knas, shloshim shalim is a knas. Sayinu mishalim al piatzmo. But according to you, that the braita is referring to dummim, not to the knas, and I say, what's the difference if he had damaged the guy by killing his shor, or damaged the guy by killing his eved? In a case where there's no shloshim shalevet of knas, there's still dummim. So you should be paying him whatever he's worth. I'd explain that. Says Rabbah, look, if I wanted to, I could brush you off. But I'm going to be kind to you. I'm not going to brush you off. So, look, I could always tell you that the Tana is interested in focusing on two different issues. The Tana is talking about in the Reisha, he's coming to talk about Domim, because the reason that he could talk about Domim there is, as we just pointed out, Domim and Kofar are essentially equal. And there's only a detail. So when I say you're Mishalim, since what I mean is you end up paying the same thing. That's why I talk about Domim. If I spoke about Domim here when it came to Eved, it would be a little bit silly, wouldn't it? Because there's no relationship between the Shloshim and the Domim. So that when it says over here, you're not Mishalim al piatzmo, it means you're not Mishalim Shloshim Shalevet al piatzmo. Ah, you're Mishalim Dobim. That has no relationship to Shloshim Shalevet. Mashenkin, where I say you're Mishalim Kofer, that's because Kofer, in fact, is the same as Dobim, other than technicalities. Correct? Okay. I could say that. I'm not going to. Because it's a little bit far-fetched, I understand. But I would be able to defend it. But miyushinir dechikolo mishanilach. Okay. I'm not going to give you the kind of answers they give you in press conferences. I'm going to give you a real answer. And the truth is that really, edim edim dummy. They're both talking about dummy, and there is a brilliant, brilliant distinction between the two cases, which I want you to think about. Because this is the real meaning of that breath. The real meaning of the breath is this. A ben chori is not dependent in witnesses for the tashlum of the value, the dummim. Why? Because it's possible to even not be dependent on witnesses for tashlume kofer.
Tashlume kofer.
Why is that? How is that? I'll show you. A ben chori can be mishalim kofer al piatzmo, and that's why it's mishalim dummim al piatzmo. Case being, how could you be kofer al piatzmo? Case being as follows, as you know me. Witnesses come along. The other side of Asir Vedekata. Now, there are witnesses that come along and they say, this shor is Chayev Skila. We saw it murdered. But we have no idea whether it's a tam or a muad. Now, if it's a tam, there's no kofer. If it's a muad, there is kofer. But certainly Hashor Yisakel is true. The owner says, well, I have to tell you, this shor is a mu'ad. Oh, we say to him, that's not mu'ad of a knas, kofar's not a knas, so you pay the kofar too. He said, absolutely, I want to pay the kofar. Right? So there, what's the thing? He'll pay the kofar. Even though we needed his own admission that it was a mu'ad to pay the kofar. Therefore, when he admits to the chiyuvim, that are the equivalent of kofar, which is domim, he'll pay domim, even in a case where we don't have the testimony about the skila of the shor, you see? Masha Inken, when it comes to Shloshim Shalevet, you don't have a case like that. Because if the guy comes along after the witness is proclaimed, this is getting very serious for me. It's hot, too. If, in fact, the witnesses come along and they say, we saw the shor murder the Eved. Okay, so now you're included in our shor Yisakel. The guy says, you don't know if it's a mu'ad, but I want to tell you it's a mu'ad. So we say to him, thank you, sir, but mu'ad v'knas pater. Since there's no way to be mechayev himself for the shloshim shel eved, There's no way to be mechayev himself on the domain either, because the Torah never had a case where without witnesses there would be a hitchayvut in the case of Asher Yisakel Yisim. Therefore, says the Rabbah, the cases are fundamentally different. So mil ben chorim to bishalim kofra biatzmo, in a case of a ben chorim vis-a-vis kofra, which could happen all on its own. Hechi domi how? Witnesses come and they say, look, he's definitely chayav skila. I can't tell you. We can't tell you whether he's the owner of chayav kofar or not. And the man comes along, Yomamari, no, I am chayav kofar. He's a mu'ed. Over there, it's not called Moni Bekanaz, of course. So he's Mishalim kofar al piatzmo. Therefore, if there's no witnesses at all, he is still Mishalim domi al piatzmo. Mashenken gabi eved, there is no way to pay shloshim shel eved al piatzmo. Over there, even if Adam come along and say, we saw the shor kill, he cannot say, well, I want to admit it was a mu'ed, because he still wouldn't be fine. So he's never mishalim knas al piatzmo, which means the Torah was, we never find a case where the Torah is mechayev the bialim to pay for an eved. Either you have witnesses that are mechayev you along with skila for the shor, or you don't. Therefore, if you don't have witnesses, and he wants to say, but I still damaged, didn't I? We say, no, the Torah never provided for tashlumim of domim for an eved, you see. In the case where there are witnesses, it provided only for tashlumim of shloshim knas. In the case where there are no witnesses, there was no provision at all. Therefore, thank you very much for trying to be an honest citizen, but go home. And that's good for what it's saying. So over there, hekidomi, what's the case? Come along with this, if I see the beidikot v'lo yadi tam avi mu'ed. Comes along the owner, he says, I want to admit that it's a mu'ed. Nonetheless, lo mishkalim knas afiyatzmam. Therefore, hechadoleke edim, if there's no witnesses at all, he can't be mishalim domim, because there's no provisions for tashlumim domim. That is the difference in the bright. Now tell me that's not brilliant. A lot better than that press conference Terence, I would have told you, right? Masir for Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Shmuel Bar Yitzchak asked on this, how do you explain the following bright? Kol shechiyev ben chorin, chiyev b'kofer. Wherever the Torah was mechayev ashar for ben chorin, it's mechayev for an eved, whether you're talking about kofar or whether you're talking about mita. Now, I mean, on the face of it, this is absolutely ridiculous. There's no such thing as kofar by an eved, right? So when you say kofar, what do you mean? Kofar be eved be ika? Ela lav damim. When it says kofar, what it means is the equivalent of kofar, in other words, the value. So that would mean whatever would be chayev by a ben chorin, if the ben chorin is chayev damim, so that in a case where ben chorin was made al piatzma, at least he pays the damim. The same thing would be true that if you're made by an eved al piatzma, at least you pay damim. So this is not like what you just said, Rabbah. So el alav damim. So some say that Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak figured out the teretz himself. He could have a motive like a farikla. And some say Rabbah had to explain the teretz to him. And what he said was hachik tani. All that that brighter means is the following. In a case where ben chorin is chayev kofer, meaning that there was kavana to kill, and the kshor is going to be chayev skila, only in that case is an eved chayev the knas. But kol shechiyev ben chorin shelo bekavana al pi edim damim, and in a case where we have witnesses that say that he killed, but it was shelo bekavana, wasn't it kaven laharog et hashor? The Arakita Adam. Okay, so what do you pay in that case? Damages, like every other case of damage. Just because the guy is dead doesn't mean he wasn't damaged. He was worth such and such as an eved, and now he's not worth anything. So you pay those damages. So too, are you chayev on an eved, shloba kavana, but only al pi edim, of course. There you would pay dummy. But it's nonetheless true what I said, that the Torah never made provisions for payment al pi atzmo. That is still correct. Omalei Rav, says Rav, now wait a second over here. According to this, you are saying that death that is incurred through a moment of Masik is not different than Nezik. Now, let's consider for a moment overall, on a global level. We find two cases where the Torah prescribes very special dinim when it comes to death that is a result of an attack by moment of Masik. One is the case of Kofar. What is the case of Shloshim Shel Eved? We spoke about all along only Kofar and Shloshim Shel Eved. Never occurred to us to discuss the domim element of it. Rav has come along and said, now wait a minute, where there's no Kofar and no shloshim shall have it. I mean, they're still nezek. So even though it's true that surprisingly, we don't view the shloshim shall have it, we don't view the kofer as an additional chiyuv to damim. We view it as taking the place of the damim. Where there is no such knas or chiyuv of kapara, there the damim kicks in. So in other words, what you are saying, says Rava to Rava, what you are saying is that actually there's a fundamental chiyuv of momen hamazik for cases of death as well, right? It's just that the Torah gives us a whole new din. Forget about the damim that is owed for the hezek component. Let's only concentrate on the knas. That is a little bit of a strange way of looking at the whole thing, says Rava. Because, I mean, according to this, what would you say about a fire that gets out of control? Today's news, in Australia, 150 people killed by fires set by some people who are now viewed as mass murderers. So now you're Momen HaMazik. Are you considered to be Chayiv in the Nezikin of your age that kills? Or are cases of death viewed as something that's entirely a different set? I think that by your assumptions of Shor, we would say the same thing by age. And for some reason, that disturbs me. Now, the Gemara's going to ask me, why does it disturb me? And what if I'm making that assumption? Does it say somewhere that that's not true? Okay, but right now, this is what Rava's bothering. Asks Rava, Ihachi, Ishor Shaloba Kavanah Piedi, same thing should be true by age. There's no Kavanah, but Edim come along, and they say, look, the guy set a fire, and someone was burned up by the fire, so we should also pay damim, according to this. Says the Gemara, yeah, maybe that's true. Uminole l'Rava de lo mishalim. Why does Rava assume that that's not the case? That he's saying, aha, now I got you. What do you mean, now I got you? Maybe that's right. Elaim amid it's not. Is it that he's assuming that since the Mishnah said, this was a Mishnah we discussed earlier, Rahaya gedi kafutlo ve'emet samuchlo. You had over here a tied up gedi and an ebed next to a gadish, and your dog causes a fire. So over there, Nisrafimo, there you would be chayev on the gadish and on the gedi, potter, of course, on the ebed, because the ebed should have run away. On the other hand, if the ebed was tied up and the gedi was next to it, it could have run away, Nisrafimo, so then you would be potur in that case. So what it's apparently saying is that you would be potter, despite the fact that it was a case of murder. But remember that Rish Lakish says the reason that you're potter is not because you're potter for the damage, it's because you're going to be killed. And it's talking about over there, Rish Lakish, don't shade seat the for Shalevet. You didn't light a fire and then it spread. You lit the tide up in it. So over there it's come Levin Rabamine. And you're potter on everything, even on the Gadish. That's the point. Not that you're potter on the Eved, because the Torah wasn't Machai of you for cases where the Eved dies. So what's bothering Rava? Elam Yehatatanya, perhaps it's this, the time. Chom Rebbe Esh Mibabor, Shea Esh Mu'edet Lechol Ben Davaro Ro'uila, Ben Davar She'en Ro'uila. Remember that Esh is Chayev even on things that it's normally not going to consume. So let's say the heat of a fire damages the topsoil. Remember that case? Sikh Sechavanam and so on. So over there, you would be Chayev. Mashe came before, because a bor is Potter. Since when a bor is Potter on Kalim also, right? So a bor is Potter. Now, perhaps Rava is thinking to himself, why didn't we also list the difference between bor not being Chayev on the death of an Adam and Esh being Chayev on the death of an Adam? Because remember, we said Shor Velo Adam. And that was only referring to cases of death. Because you are chayev on an adam that was damaged. Aha, says Rabbis, you see. We could easily have said, V'ilu, Eish b'shalem et shalom b'kavan adamim on an adam who dies. Mashen came before because of shor v'lo adam lo katami. And that was very conspicuously left out, apparently because it's not true. And an Eish is also not b'shalem. How do you know? Maybe the reason that it's left out is because Tana Mashiach. Maybe this is not meant to be a comprehensive list. And the Rishonim speak out of what else was left out. Fine. There's other things that were left out. Maybe. Says the Gemara, you misunderstand Rava. It's not that Rava is asking on Rava. It's a given that we all know that Esh indeed is potter if it kills an Adam. That's not true. Rava was asking. Rava wasn't saying. Rava was asking Rava, Shall we rightfully conclude, in terms of what you're saying, that an Esh that kills someone is chayev on the domim of the Adam? Certainly not on Kofer. Because we learn from Im Kofer Yushat, Alav is dafka Alav on Ashor, not on an Esh. But domim, you said where there's no Kofer, the norm is domim. So Rava was asking, Rava Gufa Iboi Ban Boili, Esho, Shalom Kabana, is it going to be Mishalim domim according to you or not? Oh, lo. Mi amina do we say Gabi Shor, Huda Bekabana Mishalim Kofer, Shalom Bekabana Mishalim domim? Is it only because Ashor, we see the Torah, is Mechayev Tashlumim as Kofer? So when there's no Kofer, we understand that that Chayev Tashlumim now mutates into Tashlumim of domim. But Isho, where Bekabana lo Mishalim Kofer, to give it, that Kofer Yushat Allah, follow Allah Ish. So maybe Shalom Bekabana Lami lo Mishalim domim. Or do we say, Adilma, Kima de Gabi Shoro, Shalom Bekabana, Afa Gav de Leka Kofer Mishalim Dami? Do we say that in cases where a Shor does not pay Kofer, it's a given that moment of Mazik is Mishalim Dami, so Gabi Ishonami, Afa Gav de Kabana, Lo Mishalim Kofer, Shalom Bekabana, Miet Mishalim Dami? The Lo Yadina, I'm not telling you that I know that the opposite is true. I'm asking you, is this a conclusion to be drawn from what you said? Take fine. On that, we do not have a response. But in reality, this is a very serious issue. That's all Rav is pointing out. Kiyata Rav Dimi on Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he quoted an interesting drasha by Rav Yochanan. The Torah says, "In kofer yushat alav." Now, that's not really true. The din is kofer yushat alav. It's not up to him, in kofer yushat alav. Bezdin has to be Mechayev Kofer. Therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan, look, Kofer Yushat Alav, yes. Ma Talmud Lomar in Kofer, L'rabot Kofer Shelo B'Kavanah, Ki Kofer B'Kavanah, to teach me not to make the drasha that Rava just made, and that there is no correlation between the Chiyuv of Skila on the Shor and the Chiyuv of Kofer on the Baalim. The Baalim must pay Kofer, even though it was done Shelo B'Kavanah, and there's no Tzako Yisakel HaShor. The exact opposite of what we've been assuming now all along here. Omele Yabayan, Elamayata, why not say the same thing by Eved? You could say, Im Eved Yigach Hashor. Why say, Im Eved Yigach Hashor, Oama? Just say, Kesev Shoshim Shkalim Yigach Eved. What's the Im Eved? Why not say, L'rabot Eved Shalom Bekavana, Ke'eved Bekavana? So you'll say, well, maybe. Who's to say Rabbi Yochanan would disagree with that? So, V'chitei Mochin Ami, Reish Lakish says, Shor Shein Mita Te'evet Shlo B'Kamana, Patroni Shloshim Shkalim. Omar Leis, Rav Dimi said, I don't understand. All of a sudden you're going to ask on Rabbi Yochanan from Reish Lakish? Boy, that's a new one. Maybe Anachin Ami, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we would do it. Reish Lakish doesn't like it, let him not like it. Who cares what Reish Lakish says? Rabbi Yochanan argues on him. So Gavra, Gavra, Karamita, you're asking on me, who's quoting Rabbi Yochanan, you're asking for Reish Lakish. And I have to tell you that he has to be consistent with Reish Lakish. Maybe he is consistent. Actually, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan as precisely saying that Eved, Mata Vadomer, Im Eved, the Rabot Eved, Shalom B'Kavana, Ke Eved B'Kavana, you see? So that Ein Hachinami, even though there's no Ashar Yisagel, there's still a din of Tashlum and Shloshim Skolim, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, according to Reish Lakish, why doesn't Reish Lakish, who says Beferish, that Ashar Shemita Te'evet Shlo B'Kavanah Spator, why doesn't he darshan this pasuk? Shall we say that just like Reish Lakish disagrees with the Eved, he also disagrees with Tashlum and Kofer, with the pasuk of Im Kofer, because it's the same drasha as Im Eved, right? It isn't really, is it? If you think about it, Im Kofer is the din of where to pay the Kofer. Im Eved is who is the victim. It's not really a comparison. We're not going to say just because the word Im appears, that it necessarily has to be added in Tashlumi, even when there's no Sakoi Sakel. But on the surface, it sounds similar. We're darshaning the Im. So shall we say that in the same way that Reish Lakish rejects the drasha of Im Eved, and he says that actually you are potter from Shloshim, would he also reject the Im Kofer and say on a Bet Chorin, he also would not pay? So do we say, L'Reish Lakish Nami Nemi Bede Eved Im Eved Lodorish, Kofer Im Kofer Nami Lodorish? Says they were absolutely not. Amen. Look. Eved im Eved is not Darish. Kofer im Kofer, he is Darish. Umayishno, what's the difference? Well, we already know what the difference is. Im Eved has nothing to do with the Tashlumim. It has to do with the case. So the Riboy of Im is Lo Katuv, we become Tashlumim. It's not talking about the Tashlumim. It's talking about who was attacked. But Kofer im Kofer is actually adding something about the nature of the Tashlumim of Kofer, and there it comes to add Kofer, even though the Shor is not Iskal. But Kozman shashor biskila bali mishamim shloshim shkolim. Ein ashor biskila, ein bali mishamim shloshim shkolim. Omar Rabba, shor shemit ben chorin shlo bekavanat patur mikofer also. Shema ashor yisakel legam balav yumat. Im kofer yushat alav. That means kozman shashor biskila bali mishamim kofer. Ein ashor biskila, ein bali mishamim kofer. Eit ve'abayit. Hey, meet Shariat Plonio, Sharosha Plonio, Reza Mishalim al Piatzmo. I mean, I assume that means Kofra, no? No, means Domim. He Domim, he Masefa. Hey, meet Shariat Avdosha Plonio, Reza Mishalim al Piatzmo. If you're saying it means Domim, why the heck wouldn't he pay? On my loan. On my lay. Look, I really could have Yachin the Shinui Lechoresha Domim Vesefa Knas, but I'm going to be nice to you. Mishne de Chikolo Mishanina Lecha. Actually, Idavidi Dami, New Ben Chorin, the Mishalim Kofra, Piatzmo, Vechidami, the other side of Yatsida, the Kotavlo Yadi, Tamavi, Muadavi, Yamamari, Muadavi, the denominator is Misham Kofra, Piatzmo, because there's no dinamoda biknas. Therefore, Hechadaleka Enim is also Mishalim Dami. Masha'inkin, Rabbi Eved, Shaina Mishalim Knas, Piatzmo, being the case, Echidami, the other Edim, the Asida, the Kotavlo Yadi, Tamavi, Muadavi. And Omar Mori Muadavi, there, since it's a Knas, he's not Mishalim Knas Apiatzmo. And therefore, Echadaleka, Edim Lo Mishalim Tamim. Mazer Shmuel Barab Yitzhak, Kosha Chiev, Ben Chorin, Chiev Be'evet, Bein Be'kofer, Bein Be'mita. Now, obviously, there's no Kofer Be'evet Mi'ika. El Alav, it's got to be referring to the equivalent of Kofer, which is Dami. And it says over here that it's exactly the same as the Ben Chorin. Ikri Amri hu motiv lahu mefarikla. V'ikri Amri Rabba had to explain it to him. That Achiktan, Kosha Chiev Ben Chorin, meaning Be'kavanah pi edim Kofer, is Chayev Be'eved, the Shloshim Shalheved, the Knas. But Kosha Chayev Ben Chorin, Shalom Be'kavanah pi edim, which would only be Damim, because it was Shalom Be'kavanah, Chayev Be'eved, Shalom Be'kavanah pi edim, in that case, not Alpi Atzmo, but Alpi edim, it would be Chayev Damim. Omale Rav, if that's your explanation now, so now what about Ish? Isho Shalom Be'kavanah pi edim, the Shalem Damim? How do you know? Maybe he does. Minale la rava de lo mishalim. Ilay me mered tana ya gedi kafut lo ve evet samuch lo ven israfi mo chayat. Evet kafut lo ve gedi samuch lo ven israfi mo patur. That's not because there's no din of damim on an adam. It's because Omre Shlokish Gon say tit begufo shal evet. And it's a din of kom lay bit a rabbi mine. Ela mi ha. The tanya chomer be esh mi babor. She'esh benet achol ben davar ruila. Ben davar she'en ruila. Ma she'en ken babor. Ma she'en ken if the halacha was that esh is b'shalemet shalom b'kavanah damim, why not make that a difference? Ve'ilu she'esh b'shalemet shalom b'kavanah damim on an adam ma she'en ken babor. Because it says shor v'lo adam lo katani. Dil matan of a shir. And Rav Agufe actually wasn't asking, he was questioning. Iboy mi ba'elay. Isha shelo bekavana. Mi mishalim da mi ma'olo. Mi amin agabi shohu da bekavana mishalim kofa shelo bekavana mishalim da mi. Aval isho. We're over there bekavana lo mishalim kofa. So maybe shelo bekavana nami lo mishalim da mi. We're over there even though like a kofa you're still mishalim da mi. Gabi isho nami, afagav de bekavana, lo mishalim, eko feshalo bekavana, mi mishalim dami, velo yadino, teiku. This is a very fundamental question of the relationship of mita, of nezikin, to the special dinim of
Kofer Shloshim Shel Eved. Ki Ata Reb Dimi Omer Reb Yochanan Kofer. Ata Velo Re'im Kofer. L'Rabot Kofer Shelo Bekavana Ki Kofer Bekavana. Omer Le'abaya Alamiyata. Can't you say the same thing with Eved Nami? Mata Velo Re'im Eved. L'Rabot Eved Shelo Bekavana Ki Eved Bekavana. Now maybe you'll try to tell me, how do you know he doesn't say that? V'chitema Hochi Nami Be. Well, I mean, doesn't Resh Lakish? Resh Lakish is a Talmud of Reb Yochanan. I mean, wouldn't he know? Om Resh Lakish Shor Shehimita to Eved Shelo Bekavana, but Tor Mishloshim Shkalim. Om Alais Rav Dimi Setem. I don't get you, man. Gavra Gavra Karamita. Maybe they're arguing. Kiata Ravin Om Reb Yochanan Eved. Matam Lamer. Im Eved L'Rabot Eved Shelo Bekavana, Ki Eved Bekavana. Hey, so according to Resh Lakish, he should do the same thing. Why don't we say that in this, are we going to willing to conclude that Nema Medieved Im Eved Lodorish Kofer Im Kofer Nami Lodorish? Not necessarily. Amri lo. Eved Im Eved, maybe he's not Dorish, but Kofer Im Kofer, he might still be Dorish. Why? Maishna? Because Eved Im Eved Lokti Bimakoma Tashlumim. Kofer Im Kofer is actually Ketuv Bimakoma Tashlumim.